Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 344, Top of the Day to You Talks.
Top of the Day to You.
Here we are, another week gone.
I know.
More watching been done.
Yeah. Okay, what have you been going back to watch? You know how we always have something that we love that we re-watch? Is it still Beverly Hills for you?
So. I did watch a couple more episodes of The X-Files as well.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And The Office.
Nice.
English, of course.
Of course. Is there any other?
Scathing remark.
Yeah. Would you like to know what I've been watching? I mean, it's a conversation here, Leah. It's not one way.
Sorry.
I went back and watched season one of Below Deck Sailing.
Ooh, that was the one with, what was her name, Adrian?
No. Sailing.
Oh, Sailing. Oh, the stupid.
Uh-huh.
Adam and stupid.
Jenna.
Yeah.
Who I think Jenna thought she was reality television brilliant until the show aired, and then she would have seen how awful she actually was.
No, she would have said it was the editing.
True.
The producers made me look like that.
But they didn't ask her back.
True. Yeah. They got, who did they get instead?
Daisy.
That's right, yeah.
There's so many. Now you've got a legend.
Yeah, you do. A little legend. She's been in heaps now, maybe four.
She's fab. Love her.
I've got, because I've been rewatching The Office, I've got a, I always want to call him Tim Freeman, but that's the guy from the Whitlams band.
Yeah.
Martin Freeman. A Martin Freeman. I know, far out. I even Googled it. I was like, oh, yeah, let me just look at what he's done again. And it had that guy. I went, oh, yeah, that's right, because he's in The Office. So we're going to have a little quiz about that. A few news stories and other things. You don't have a cup of tea, but I do.
Yeah. Why didn't you make me one?
Because I made it whilst I was having lunch, and then I finished lunch and half of the tea's gone. What did you have for lunch?
Leftover pizza from when I went out to lunch the other day. And I ordered a pizza.
I do not get the delivery of this. It doesn't make any sense.
Like, I had leftover pizza.
Yeah, like it's exciting. You had pizza.
Oh, okay. I was trying to play down the fact that
I wouldn't get jealous.
Yeah, a little
bit. I'm already jealous.
And then I realized it's kind of also a boring story.
You just say, I had leftover pizza.
I had leftover pizza. It was delicious. I wish I had been bothered to put it in the oven. But I was lazy and I didn't like it.
Hey, do you know what some people do? They'll put it in a pan, a fry pan, base side down. So the base goes crispy again.
You're not going to put topping side down?
Well, you could, I guess.
Melt all over it.
Yeah.
Like a quesadilla.
If you go,
delicious. Good idea.
I had a bread roll with cheese and tuna on it. So you wouldn't have eaten that.
Oh, no. Okay. Talking about.
She likes cheese. She doesn't like tuna.
Oh, okay. So Davide, who is Italian and he is a chef and he'll never listen to this, so I'm safe.
I don't think he's listened to a single episode.
No, I could say anything. Let's start. He made pizzas for the kids for dinner last night and then later on he made himself one and he goes, I was sitting around.
What did you have for dinner? Why didn't you get pizza?
I had leftover butter chicken from another night. So clearly just
cleaning
out the
fridge. Did he have butter chicken as well?
No, he didn't eat at the same time. I don't know why. Oh, he was making other stuff. And so then he sat down. Anyway, that's not the point. When he made his pizza, he came and he didn't sit down next to me. He's like, oh, I'll sit over here. And I thought, well, that's a bit odd.
It's got anchovies.
Okay. Worse. And I said, why? And he goes, oh, you're not going to like it. And I went, what is it? He went, it's tuna. And I went, oh, gross. And he's like, don't say that. Like, I'm going to offend the tuna. And I went, yeah, tuna, it's still gross. And he goes, and blue cheese. And then I smelt it. It was so foul.
You're hilarious.
I kept dry reaching. I was like, bleh, bleh. It was the worst smell I've ever smelled. It did.
That's why he waited. He was like, I'm going to wait for her to leave.
He still came into the room that I was sitting in to eat it. So anyway, I made him move to a different room and light a candle. It was so gross.
It wasn't a scented candle. It was just a candle just in memory of the tuna.
Just a birthday candle. And I said something. I went, oh, it smells like garbage. Well, if you don't know this, you cannot insult food in front of Italians because it's like you're insulting their brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was like, you can say anything, but don't say that about food. I was like, whatever, just say it in the other room and take your smelly pizza with you.
It is quite, that's, I mean, I love tuna. I love blue cheese. I love strong flavors.
And you love pizza.
And I love pizza, but even that seems a lot. Yeah. I mean, I would have done it and then gone, oh, I think I overdid it, you know?
Yeah, maybe a canapé would be better in an outdoor location. Lots of candles.
Oh, my God. Let's get into the nails.
Follow the Watchers on Twitter at TheWatchersPod1.
Okay, my first story is all about how my life got
upside down.
Yeah, that's it. No, I was reading about Anna Faris talking about Scary Movie and the franchise because remember she was in all of them except for I think
one.
I can't no, the last one, whichever one it was, had Charlie Sheen and that guy who was in stuff for a bit. Like it was fun. It was funny. It was a good movie, but she wasn't
was
in it.
She scary wasn't in movie, it.
Exactly.
Wasn't she?
Exactly. And at the time, I mean, she was kind of talking about it. She sort of said, you know, whatever. They just wanted to have something fresh. Wanted to go in a different direction. She did. I mean, whether she cared about it then or not, but she doesn't really care now. But there is talk of doing another Scary Movie.
Okay.
And she was kind of like, well, I'm open to it, but there would be a couple of conditions. Mm-hmm. She says that she has to have Regina Hall back.
Nice.
She was hilarious. I mean, they were both hilarious.
Yeah.
But just the look on her face when she, like, I don't know. I can't even remember the, but Regina Hall often ended up with something ridiculous on her.
Yeah.
Acting like nothing was on her.
Yeah.
And just the face was, it's kind of like a cat who walks in with cobwebs all over their face. That kind of, what? What's your problem? So she wants Regina Hall back again as well as money, just more money.
How cool though. I mean, yeah, I think if you're going to come back, you would ask for the pay rise,
yeah,
lots of it. But to ask for somebody else, that your contract is on condition of somebody else coming, I like that.
Don't you reckon – oh, Simon Rex was the bloke in the Scary Movie 5. But don't you reckon it reminds you of – Scream, was that 5 as well? Now I'm thinking about it with Neve Campbell, who's like, I'm not coming back unless you give me more money.
Yeah.
And they're like, no. And then the next movie, they were like, okay, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, you are the franchise. Sorry,
when
we didn't realize.
You said, oh, maybe she was disappointed back then, she's not anymore. My immediate thought was
money.
No, this is Scream, which Scary Movie was a replica of Scream.
Yeah.
But it's the same story. Because your franchise is not actually about a scary thing. It's about the main character.
About the main character and the parodies of other stuff.
Yeah.
But that comes second.
Second.
Yeah. I would, you know what? I would go and watch that if they make a new one with those two in it. Put Simon Rex in it again. What's he doing?
Ah, stick him all in.
Do you reckon Simon Rex would be in like Hallmark movies now?
Oh.
I haven't seen him for a while. Or is he doing other stuff? I think it's time to IMDb this.
It's probably directing. They all go into directing, don't
or
they?
Or producing.
Producing, yeah.
Well, they just get out of the game. Okay, Simon Rex was in, he played Lawrence in something called The Sweet East in 2023.
Okay, that sounds like Hallmark, right?
I don't know what it is. A picturesque journey through the city's and woods of the eastern seaboard of the US undertaken by Lillian, a high school senior from South Carolina. She gets her first glimpse of the wider world on a class trip to Washington, D.C.
It sounds like Hallmark.
Interesting. Another one I read I thought was in – why do I keep saying the word interesting? Because it's so interesting.
Interesting.
Is David Duchovny was talking about how there is talk about having the X-Files rebooted and having not Mulder and Scully or not Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, which I just think I'm like, oh, that is not a good start
well,
to this.
Well, that's exactly what we've just spoken about with Scary Movie and Scream.
It's – it that show and movies is literally them. I can't think of any – Like, I just can't.
What is it going to be about? Aliens?
So the Black Panther director, I believe, is attached to this, right, to this reboot, and is going to, and I quote, remount the X-Files with a diverse cast. And that to me, like, diverse cast, yeah, fine, perfect, whatever. But it's not Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny. And like we were talking about, that they are the X-Files. Mm-hmm. That Mulder and that Scully, that is the X-Files. And I kind of already feel sorry for whoever those other actors are going to be.
I know.
Because how are you supposed to live up?
It's a break, but it's a tainted break, isn't it?
I mean, that show started in the early 90s, had a few movies, stopped again, started again a few years ago.
And the theme song, didn't it go number one in the charts?
Like, anyway, this is not what David Duchovny wants to talk about. He's talking about how, you know, the internet and, oh my God, the US, it feels like the US is heavily into conspiracy theories. Yeah. And he was talking about how Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, was almost clairvoyant, right, with his whole this is from Deadline article, in his depiction of the conspiracy culture that has taken over much of the country now. He said Mulder's way of looking at the world was through conspiracy, and that was really fringe at the point at that point. Yes. He says it doesn't seem to be fringe anymore. It's really the world that Chris Carter foresaw happening almost 30 years ago.
Did he foresee it, or did he create it and pave the path?
Ooh. Yeah.
Like, we as...
truth is out there.
Culture
cool.
is are so heavily influenced, aren't we?
Oh, absolutely.
So that comes out and we all go, it's truth.
Because conspiracy theory is a combination of a few things, I think. Conspiracy theory is minds that are bored.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I say this is a wall because it's designed to separate these two rooms and hold the roof up, and you go, that's boring.
Mm-hmm.
I like fiction. I like storytelling.
Yes.
So I don't think, what about if I say that that wall's not really there and that it's your mind that is stopping you from just walking through it? Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, I like that. But actually it's a secret wall that goes into a different world.
Yes.
And we're like, yeah, those actually, they're far more exciting. Let's believe those.
Yes. Do you know the conspiracy theories I do enjoy are the Simpson ones?
Yeah.
They're good, so aren't they?
Good. It's so funny. Oh, my gosh. So, yeah, Mulder and Scully potentially back, but not with David and Gillian. I'm just...
I don't think I'll tune in if they're not in it.
So attached to them, you know? It's hard.
I would be intrigued to revisit it with them. Like, where have they gone in the last 20, 30 years?
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I would be looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Speaking of other things that are wow.
Mm-hmm.
1 year ago this week, Barbenheimer happened.
Wow.
Do you remember everybody was going to the movies? We went. We went with like family and some friends. It was probably a group of maybe seven of us, something like that. We all sat down. We sat and laughed and had a great time. We watched Barbie. We didn't watch Oppenheimer. There was initial talk that we, let's watch both of them. And then everybody went, I don't want to do that. Which one do you want to watch? Barbie.
I tap out for the other one.
It's long and it's not a comedy. So then there was all this talk about movie theaters are back. Yes, this is great. And not every time, but sometimes we will go, let's go to the movies this week. And then we look at what there is and we're like,
not interested.
Well, I'll have a look in a couple of weeks' time. That's not the movie theaters. That's not their fault, but it is their problem. But
it's happened more than once.
More than once.
It's happened a number of times.
And you know what I'm thinking now?
Yeah.
If, because we've got vouchers, right? So we're kind of tied to Hoyts or whatever Grady Union's called now, Event Cinema. If we had vouchers or just decided to pay, which I would, to go to somewhere that is an older theatre that plays older stuff as well as new stuff, like I'm talking for Sydney on the North Shore, Hayden Orpheum, that kind of place, where they play old things, new stuff, they have themes, people dress up.
Yeah.
That.
Well, that is the Orpheum.
That's the Orpheum. Yeah. That's where it's at.
Yep.
You know, if they said, Barbie is back this week, come along dressed up as your favourite Barbie.
Dress in pink.
Just dress in pink or whatever. People go, yeah, I haven't seen that for about a year. I'll probably go back to it. But I don't really want to see Inside Out 2 because I haven't seen Inside Out 1. I'm sure they're really good. You know what I mean? Mm. It's just like.
I mean, I do want to see it, but do I want to go to the movies for it? Because for me, the movies is a bit more of an event.
Yes.
I'll wait until I can watch Inside Out 2.
Yes.
At home. Don't need the big screen. I don't need the recliner or the popcorn. I want the movies to be an event and I want it to be a must see, can't miss.
Absolutely. Like I'm having a look at some of the, I've actually just gone onto the Orpheum website now. It's not an ad for the Orpheum, but there's so many cinemas like this,
they
right?
They played Frozen last weekend.
There you go.
And it was a sing-along version.
So fun.
Perfect.
Get involved with it, you know, but there's also things like Twisters is there, Fly Me to the Moon, which was one that we almost went and saw with Scarlett Johansson and Chaden Tanning, you know, Quiet Place, Inside Out 2 is it. They've got all the big things as well, as these older things. They've got a Purple Rain 40th anniversary screening, you know, that kind
that's
of thing.
That's clever. And that's along the lines of my business idea of we've got the entire season of Game of Thrones, the entire season or all seasons of Friends, Sex and the City, Gilmore Girls, whatever it might be, and just say we press play. You can book a season pass. You can come and go whenever you like, or you buy the ticket for that one episode, or you buy a 3-episode pass and you can just sit
or
there
season,
for,
like one season.
Yeah, one season.
Pass.
And you can come in and out because it'll just keep playing. Mm-hmm. So you might be like, oh, Wednesday at 3 o'clock, I'm going to go and watch episode 4 and 5.
That's going to be so funny with everybody else. Yeah, we'll all be dressed as Phoebe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Shall we get into some watching suggestions?
Yes, please.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
Right. So I just want to get this out of the way. I watched The Mole season 2.
And?
It was terrible because I was unable to stop.
I know. It's true. You can't.
It's just, you know, it was like, oh, I'll watch it in the, you know, well, not in the background, whilst I'm doing stuff. Yep. So it was an iPad show for me.
No, for me, I had to put everything down because I wanted to see all the clues.
Yeah, right. No, I would, like, you know, if I was chopping veggies and stuff for dinner, it would be sitting next to me and I would, go, and sit there and watch
it. Did you flip-flop?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I had some people that I, not some people, I had two people that I was like, I think it's that person. Mm-hmm. And then that person went. And then I went, maybe it's that person because that person has really been trying. Wouldn't it be funny if that person was like, oh, I won all of this money for us because I actually like you guys and I just wanted the winner to go away with something.
But do you see what I mean that it was a slightly different season in that?
Yes, because there were dumb contestants thinking they were outsmarting everything and they were being dumb. Yeah,
they were constantly sabotaging themselves.
So dumb. I'm not going to talk about it, but there was one thing that one person did and everyone was like, well, now we hate you. And I'm like, I would hate that person too.
Yeah. Yep.
That was so dumb.
I think they just fell straight into the trap of the actual mole.
Honestly, it was like they thought they were playing Secret Hitler and they wanted to, or Avalon or whatever, and they wanted to kind of trick.
That's exactly what they wanted to do. They wanted everybody to think they were the mole, which I get is
vote for
a
me.
Strategy,
yeah.
But it's so annoying.
Yeah, they. I think, I can't remember how much they made last season. But I feel like that's probably one of the lowest amount of money because I'm just being stupid.
And you could see towards the end the prizes for whatever challenge was not $20,000 anymore. It was like, this is
$80,000. $422,000. We just need to get the prize money.
You've won nothing.
You've won $15 and
a
ticket to Hayden Orpheum.
A ticket back home.
Oh, Malaysia looked really cool, though. I think
looked
they
really
made
nice.
It look inviting. And the whole way through, I kept having Malaysia's tourism advertising slogan, Malaysia, truly Asia. Do you remember that?
I do.
I don't have the right song,
it.
But, yeah, Malaysia, truly Asia was their theme. So, yeah, it looks good. They had the announcer, the host had a funny way when he first said, he was like, it almost sounded like he said Kuala Lumpur. I'm like, what is that?
He was a bit odd.
He was not good.
He was not good.
And most
I know he's like a journalist, but
Most of what he did was not live because you could hear the change in microphones.
Yep.
Even though they were trying to disguise it with, you know, pretending he was on a walkie-talkie or whatever, or a telephone. But you could hear the difference in microphones.
Contestants.
Yeah, and also the tone that he would go, he'd say, hi, everyone, and the mole, and they go, oh, hi, how are you? He'd be like, yeah, I'm good, thanks. And he'd go, and now there is a thing. I'm like, you're not there. Yeah, it was frustrating. But what new thing have you watched?
I remember saying this a few weeks ago that I was looking forward to it.
Oh, is this the ABC thing?
It is the ABC one. And I got the weeks wrong, and so I got in early, and it hadn't been released yet.
Again?
I mean, like, how rude. Anyway, it has been released, and I got into it. It's called I Was Actually There, and it's available on ABC or ABC iView. It is it focuses on big world events that have happened, and it's interviewing people who were actually there. So I first watched, I think the first episode was Port Arthur? Not Arthur Phillip.
Not Arthur Phillips. Port Arthur.
I have to say, when I first watched it, I was doing other things. Like I was preparing food and I was starting to sit down and eat, and I felt like it raced through the story really, really fast.
Because I'm assuming it's for an Australian audience and they assume you know.
I said
assume twice in the same sentence. I apologize.
Did you assume that everybody would like it? I assume that yes. However, these were the stories that we hadn't necessarily heard before, so it felt like we were not given the time to reflect on each individual person's story. But were they talking – did they want to focus more on the aftermath? I don't know. Anyway, I gave it due diligence and I actually went back to the beginning and thought, just sit down and watch it. Don't be doing other things. And I enjoyed it the second time a little bit more.
So it was more on you.
I think it was more on me, but yep. I still think it raced through really mm-hmm. fast. It was an interesting episode. Having known the history and the story, it still was – interesting, but it was amazing how many things I'd forgotten about it.
Well, it was 1996,
it was
right?
A long time ago.
You were still in school.
I was still in school, and there were whole sections. Like, I forgot it went overnight. Did you forget that?
Yep.
Yeah, see? And it moved venues. Anyway, the second one I watched, because it had really hooked me by that time, was the Boxing Day tsunami.
Oh, yeah, yep.
And that one was really harrowing. And when I finished that episode, I had to stop and I was like, I cannot take any more.
I'm surprised you watched two in a row. Sound full on.
I think because they were short.
Ah, okay.
I was reflecting on it later and I thought what was interesting was for me as a viewer, the tsunami sounded scarier.
Okay.
And I thought about that and I wondered, is it because water is this relaxing, calm thing we used, you know, for drinking, for cleaning, all of that. But suddenly when it's a natural force.
And a massive force.
Massive force. And it's coming at people like a brick wall, not even a brick wall, probably 1,000 brick walls. Mm. And you don't know how it's going to behave. Mm. You're just actually at the mercy of it and then wait for it to subside and then deal with it.
Mm.
That to me felt more scary than a crazy. Mm. Isn't that weird though?
Yeah.
But is that because that is a human and there's only so much danger that they can inflict?
I think maybe that's where you're coming from. Maybe humans feel like they have more of a chance of hiding from one human instead of, like you said, a wall of water coming at you.
Yeah.
There's a chance that you could stop the human or someone could stop the human, but you can't stop the wall
of water. You can't stop the water. Maybe it was an interesting thing to ponder on. And I thought, wow, what a good show to get you.
Have you still thinking about it way afterwards? Yeah. So two episodes out?
I only watched two episodes. Okay. I think I probably will come back to it because there's a couple more in there, like the Beaconsfield
line
I thought I might like to go back and
an interesting one.
Yeah, learn about them.
Well, I watched a movie with Martin Freeman in it called Miller's Girl. It also has Jenna, or I have to get the pronunciation correct.
Mm-hmm. I've heard Ortega.
Ortega.
It's lovely.
I just feel like when I'm trying to do the accent, it's bad. And then I just like, well, I'll do an Australian accent on it. It sounds worse.
That's worse.
Anyway, she was Wednesday Adams in Wednesday, and he was Tim in The Office, and he was Bilbo and all of that match. Sort of stuff. I know, right? So he is a writing, like an English literature teacher, and she is an exceptional student who is big on reading and writing and all of that sort of thing. And it's got massive Lolita, I was even, not even going to say undertones. It is borrowing heavily from Lolita, where a relationship between teacher and student blurs as they become a little closer to each other, and you're like, both of you should probably stop. This is a bit weird.
Yeah, okay.
And how far do they go before it's wrong? Is it wrong at a certain point? Yeah. You know what I mean? Uh-huh. Like, when does it become
wrong? Where's the line?
Wrong? Yeah. It was interesting. It was the script felt like a play. You know what I mean? Those kind of ones.
Where, I like those ones.
Yeah, you can see the acting, which is not a bad thing, but you can see the acting. Quite a nice calming feel to it, even though there was this obvious, not even an undertone, like I said, it's like right there, like this awkwardness where you're like, you guys should probably don't have that conversation. Maybe
just walk away.
Yeah, maybe you don't need to share a cigarette with your student. Kind of thing. Very interesting. They were both really good, very good. I had not seen him like that, I don't think, before. Mm. I mean, I know he's been in a lot of things, but I've kind of steered towards the comedy part.
Yeah.
And she is – I'd only ever seen her in Wednesday, so she was very different.
Yeah.
Didn't smile as much, but it was more human. It was more sort of human side. That was on Foxtel and Binge.
Cool.
What have you been watching?
So funny that I've been talking about the disgusting pizza at the beginning. Not the one that I ate for lunch today.
Of course not.
But the tuna and blue cheese one. I found a show on Amazon Prime that's called Live Italian. Now, if I can recommend anything, you need to watch this.
Is it a comedy? Is it a doco? What is it?
A bit of reality. It's a doco.
What's it called again?
Live Italian.
Live Italian.
So there's three episodes, and each episode has a different kind of host who immerses themselves in different facets of the Italian lifestyle. And the first one, and this particular one, I wish there was a whole series of just this guy, but it's Jack Whitehall, who we all know is amazing and hilarious, and he's a foodie, and he lands in Florence and immerses himself with a guide and learns all about the food in Florence and the traditions, and then the idea is that he will learn about them, and then he has to create a meal that he has eaten and present it to everybody.
Brilliant.
Now,
good premise.
That's brilliant. What's more brilliant is he's got such a cracking sense of humor, but he makes these comments, and his guide translator, who's teaching him about the Italian way, she just looks at him with these looks of, I don't know what you're talking about, and then she has to translate it.
So she just does it word for word.
Oh, God, it's amazing.
Without any of the context.
It is amazing. And Italians, I can say it because I live with one, they're quite literal. And so they take things and then they sort of look at you like, you are the biggest fool on earth. I don't know what you're on about. I don't know who you are, but like, you're not getting at this cheese. It's really, really amazing. And he's just cracking these jokes all the time.
Sounds good.
I was killing myself laughing watching it. Davide was laughing watching it, and at one time he goes, I can't remember the comment that Jack Whitehall made, but he said something, and Davide laughed, and he was like, oh, he's just making things up now. And I'm like, oh, no, that's an actual English. Oh, it was the dog's bollocks.
Oh, that's the dog's bollocks.
That's the dog's bollocks. And he goes, oh, there he is making stuff up again. I went, it's not made up.
He thought he'd cracked the code.
Yeah. It's really funny. You are going to love it.
Being Italian.
Live Italian. Yeah. So the first one's about food. Second one's all about music and that sort of, you know, that culture of Italian life. And then the last one is about football.
Oh. I mean, that could be about pretty much any country.
But I do kind of wish that Jack Whitehall was doing had done all of them.
Yeah, I get you. Yeah. When you start off, because that's difficult because you want to start off with a strong episode.
Yeah.
But then it might be too strong.
Exactly.
Quiz?
Yeah.
This is the Martin Freeman quiz. What year was he born? Do you want multiple choice?
Yeah, okay.
1971, 1981, or 1991?
81. 71.
He's older than I thought he was. That. Doesn't look that old.
Nuh-uh.
I mean, he's got grey hair, but
who doesn't?
Yeah. Which season of Fargo was he in?
Three? Four. One,
he's in the first one. You're just saying numbers now. He's in the first one.
He's in the first one.
It's funny because my mind is hazy about what happened. I think. Because
the first one to me is all about dodgy. The police officer.
I think he was the dodgy bloke. But then there was Billy Bob Thornton as well. I can't remember.
Was he in the first one?
Thought so, wasn't he?
I'm going to have to go back. Yeah, the second one was Ewan McGregor.
No, that was the third one. The second one was Kirsten Dunst's
husband.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
Jesse Plemons and Kirsten Dunst. I wonder if that's where they met.
I think it is.
Excellent. That's not a question.
Correct.
which one of his films is this synopsis from? Follows the lives of eight.
Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's follows the lives of.
Okay.
It's when you got it.
It took me that long to remember the name of the film because I was like, I'm going to yell this out regardless of what the synopsis is.
The lives are four words. Okay. Character's name in the office? I got his first name confused with somebody else and Googled that person.
I know. Tim.
Yeah.
Tim. Of course it was Tim.
How many kids does he have?
Does he? Three.
Two.
Two.
It's a boy and a girl. They look, I mean, I was just doing a quick Google. They look like they're in their late teens, early 20s.
Oh, okay.
Mm.
Well, he's old.
He's really old. last question. How many Hobbit films did they make? Hobbit.
Three.
Out of that one book that you read when you're in, what, year four or five? Maybe year five.
Yeah.
Three.
Too much.
I mean, it's a great story. Doesn't need to be that long.
Commercialization. They just wanted some money.
Far out, Brussels sprout. On that note, Stephanie, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Tim.